Welcome to the Talking About Horses podcast with Di Denton, where we talk about all things horses. From interviews with leading horse people and industry experts, to useful and usable ideas, resources and discussions, we're talking about horses. Today's Talking About Horses episode is brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear, the riding rain gear that really works. Whether it's long, short or high-vis rain gear that you're after, there'll be something to keep you dry and comfortable in any range of weathers in the Muddy Creek Rain Gear range. Check it out at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au. So, if you're ready, let's get going. Another interesting episode awaits. I've had the recent pleasure of meeting Margaret Moody from Horse Safety Australia on a wonderful African horse riding safari through Kenya recently. And Margaret's heavily involved with Horse Safety Australia, which is an organisation close to my own heart, as I'm very big on helmets in horse riding. And I know there's only one minor part of Horse Safety Australia, but nevertheless, it really interests me in what Margaret and Horse Safety Australia does. So Margaret's going to tell us a little bit about it, and we'll go from there. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Diane. Well, Horse Safety Australia, it's started off in 1991, and a group of people got together to look at riding standards for the recreation area of horse riding. I mean, we have EA, we have Pony Club, we have RDA, and they all have their own standards. But there aren't any real standards for the rest of the recreational industry, which really is about 80% of horse riders. So they got together and modelled what they were doing on the CHA, Chartered Horsemanship Association, I think it stands for, in America, and contacted them because they liked what they were doing. And at their own expense, the CHA sent out one of their national directors to train the first clinic instructors in what was then the Association of Horsemanship Safety and Education. And a few years ago, we changed to Horse Safety Australia. And that was Nina Arnott and Paul Davenport. Paul Davenport's now our training director, and Nina's our CEO. And we were looking at, we're not discipline specific, so we cover English, Western, natural horsemanship, we do some mustering qualifications, those sorts of things. And the whole idea is to give people a recognised qualification. It's a skill set that's been adapted from different training packages, mainly the outdoor sport, fitness and recreation package. I hope I've got that right, Nina. So it's a TAFE units, and it's a nationally recognised qualification. And we were with Wirrawai Training as our RTO, and we're in the process of switching over to TAFE College in New South Wales. I think it's the Illawarra TAFE.
Okay.
Because one of the people went through to Linda, I can't think of the last name, and she works at that TAFE, and they were really keen to take it on.
Right, because TAFE New South Wales, at least I know with that, they have a big horse equine
program. They do, they do.
Yeah.
So what we do, if people are interested in coming to a clinic, and people come, they might already have formal qualifications, but not necessarily EA ones. They might be relatively new to the industry, wanting to start up a trail riding business or a riding school. And the clinic goes for 5 days, so it's pretty intensive. And it's mainly recognition of prior learning. They get some clinic workbooks to complete before the clinic. And during the clinic, there's some other written type assessments, but it's mainly practical. And what they have to do is do 3 arena lessons, and one must be for a group of beginners, because a group of beginners, which is most, if you run a trail riding place or just come in and do a horse ride around a paddock even, that you've got punters coming in who've never been near a horse before. So they're the ones that are tricky to handle. If somebody can already ride, it's not so much a problem. But when you're getting somebody who's never been on a horse before, you have to, and now the Australian Horse Industry Code of Practice says that if you are taking people out on a trail ride, before you go out, you must see that they have individually started, stopped and turned their horses. Right, so none of this just get on and off we go, the horses do the job. Because it's just getting to that stage now where people have to be taking responsibility. I mean, there are, you know, you have your disclaimers and all the rest of it. But, you know, as we know, horses are living, moving creatures, and they'll shy and do all sorts of things that horses do. So you have to be able to be confident that the people you're putting, firstly, that your horses are right, that, you know, and so assessing your horse as suitable for whatever you're doing is extremely important, and then making sure that the individuals know how to stop, start and turn.
Okay, so that's talking about instructors, if you or establishments. For the general horse person out there, whether it be somebody just a normal rider or somebody who's wanting to get into the industry, how can it help them, these qualifications?
Well, if you, say, wanted to give private lessons.
Right,
you can, and most of the people will do one-on-ones. You know, if they're giving private lessons, it generally is one-on-one. But we still make everybody who comes through do a group of beginners.
Right.
Because there are a whole range of strategies that you can employ to make sure people are kept safe.
Okay, what about for, say, adjustment property owners where they've got horses, other people's horses, or holiday accommodations that do that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, we also do site accreditations, mm-hmm. so that, and normally it's in conjunction with, say, a trail riding business or whatever. But again, Nina would come out and, or you can actually go onto the website and have a look at what's involved. And it can be as simple as that gate's really opening the wrong way. Or you've got things, you know, if you've got a sprinkler system somewhere where they're protruding above the fence, it's, you know, can be a potential hazard. So it's a whole lot of risk management as well.
Right.
To make sure that things are sited properly, that there aren't any, you know, loose wires hanging around. I mean, even little things like that can potentially cause, you know, quite a severe accident.
And how openly or warmly has Horse Industry Australia been taken on board by the Australian equine industry, because it's very broad?
Yes, well, Nina was on the Australian Horse Industry Council, but we've had people from, you know, the Western area. We did some workshops up at Tokel TAFE for their
They've got a big horse
trainers.
Yes, absolutely.
We did that. We actually did some work with all the, or quite a number of the New South Wales TAFE teachers who were involved with equine programs after that really unfortunate incident with Sarah, I can't remember her last name now, but she was killed in a horse riding accident, and as a result of that, and as a result of her mother too really pushing for something to be done, we got involved with in-servicing the TAFE teachers as well. And it's an industry that I think it's the second most dangerous sport to rock fishing. I think it's the statistics, not just off the top of my head. I think it's almost something like each day 10 people are hospitalised as a result of some horse riding accident.
Horse riding or horse handling?
Or both.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
10.
Yes, some incredible number.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to motorbike riding, it's there are more injuries per X number of hours with horse riding than there are with riding motorbikes, you know. So
it's crazy.
Yeah. But that's it. They're big animals, you know, and people tend to forget that. And, of course, you know, a lot of people are hurt by what they think are quiet horses.
I suppose also there's not the base knowledge that there used to be of handling big animals, and a lot of people are coming in that don't have a background with horses or don't have a family connection where they've sort of been brought up with them.
Where it used to be that most people who went to work in the horse industry came up through having their own ponies and pony club and that sort of thing. Now, because it's the third largest industry and the fifth largest employer in Australia, the horse industry.
Wow.
Yeah, and that includes racing, of course.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of people are seeing opportunities to be involved in that. And, of course, a lot of young women in particular, you know, have this dream of working with horses because it is a lovely thing to do, but they're coming in without any real background experience. So Nina's just been involved with working with WorkSafe New South Wales and developing a program guidelines for working with new or inexperienced people in the horse industry. So just covering a whole lot of basic things and often people just take for granted.
Right.
Yeah, cool. So it's we're hoping that sort of will go national. You know, look, now that New South Wales have picked it up, we're hoping other states will pick up that as well.
So that's the base point for Into the Future with Horse Safety Australia.
Yeah, so we'll keep running the clinics, of course.
Yes.
And because it's and most people who come to do the clinics go away just saying how wonderful it's been.
Do insurance companies look favourably on operations that have been through your accreditation?
Oh, yes, certainly. Yeah. Yes, yes. Because the code also says that, you know, you should have insurance. And it was, you know, that several years ago where the insurance just went through the roof with everything.
Yes.
And a lot of people went out of business just because they couldn't afford it.
Mm.
And just the way the world's going, it's not just the horse industry, it's all parts of... whether, you know, it's tourism and recreation, you have to, you know, really lift your game and be responsible and look after your clients, you know. Yeah.
And look after yourself at the same time.
And look after yourself at the same time. If you want your business to be viable,
you want
those people, you know, coming back and in one piece.
Definitely, that's definitely. So how do people contact, for more information, how do they contact you or Horse Safety Australia?
The best place to start is with the website, www.horsesafetyaustralia.com.au. And it has information on there about clinics coming up, and you can a couple of phone numbers to contact Nina, or Nicola's got she looks after organising the clinics. Nicola Ridley, she has a email address on that as well.
And somebody could organise a clinic in their area if they want one.
If what we look for, if somebody wants to host a clinic, say if it's a trail riding business. They can host a clinic and get a site accreditation done if they want to. All at the same time. I mean, of course, there's fees involved. We're a not-for-profit organisation, but, you know, we have to charge. And if they had enough people from the area who wanted to attend the clinic, I think the minimum number we need is about six.
Right.
But certainly, yeah, if you wanted to get a group of people in the area together and had somewhere to host it and for the participants to stay. We get people coming in from interstate all the time, and, you know, we generally run a clinic each year in Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales, and some often Queensland as well.
Right.
So we try and keep so people can get to them.
Yes.
But yeah, if there were a group of people in a specific area who had a site available and people who wanted to attend,
www.horsesafetyaustralia.com.au. All right, that's great. Thanks so much for talking to you, and it's been lovely riding with you this past week.
It's really been a hoot.
Yes, yes.
Absolute fun.
And we've all stayed safe.
Well, you certainly have.
Thanks for listening to the Talking About Horses podcast today. This podcast has been brought to you by Muddy Creek Rain Gear. Rain gear for people who love to ride no matter what the weather. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you were to subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave a review on iTunes. If you'd like to find out more about today's conversation topic or continue the conversation, then simply head over to the Talking About Horses podcast page on the Muddy Creek Rain Gear website at www.muddycreekraingear.com.au/news, where you can also check out their great range of wet weather gear. Thanks for listening. I'll be talking about horses again soon.